1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 34. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions." May God bless his words.
Indeed, may God bless the reading and also the doing of his word. I hope you're excited about this morning, because I know that part of me, I'm excited about this morning because of the passage we are going to be looking at, and also the topic we're going to be talking about. The topic is the Lord's Supper, or communion, or Holy Communion, or Eucharist, as it is sometimes called in some circles. We're going to be asking ourselves these questions, that even though we have been observing communion, on a regular basis, but why is it that we as a church body come together to partake of the Lord's Supper? What is the significance of communion? I pray that God would use this opportunity and use this time to bless us, the one who shares and also those who listen, so that we may all be learners and disciples and followers of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come join me again in a word of prayer. Father, we know that unless we come before you, everything that we do is going to be just routine, and it would never touch our hearts. So we pray, O Lord, that you would set aside all our thoughts, everything that competes with you, or take our thoughts away from you. Pray, Father God, that you would speak to us, sit next to us, sit in front of us if necessary, so that we may listen and know that it is you who are talking and we who are doing the obeying and also the appreciating. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Why is the Lord's Supper important to us, and what is the significance? While you're thinking about that question, I want to tell you a little bit about a story, about a retreat I attended with another church some years ago. I like stargazing. Actually, I like a lot of things. I like stargazing. That's one of the things, and I like looking up into the night sky. Have you ever done that? Sometimes I have to be honest with you that I'm a little bit disappointed with the DC night sky. Because whenever I hear news of a special sighting, this is the best time to watch a certain planet, or that, a certain comet is coming back, and, once every 50 years or, 120 years, every time when I hear news about that, I would, make sure that if I could, at that time, I would go out and then, I would look in a set direction, hoping to spot that star, the planets, or the comets flying by. But to be honest, most of the time when I, when I do that in D.C., all I could see is just buildings. And even if I could, catch a glimpse of the sky, it is usually just cloudy. Very, very disappointing. But however, out in the countryside, it is a totally different picture. So, during this particular retreat, when I was, in a farmhouse far away from the city, in the evening, when, the program is all over, we noticed that, there was a bunch of, unusually talkative teenagers. Maybe they were so, excited about being at a retreat. So what happened is that, me and two other youth workers, we took this bunch of teenagers out to the open and decided to do some stargazing. And it was a great night for that. So we went to a corner of the car park that was sealed off, you know, completely to traffic. And then you know what we did? It was a very neat thing. All of us lie down on the tarmac like that, and we all look at the sky, you know. And you can feel that the tarmac was still pretty hot because it was a, you know, pretty hot day that day. But however, it was a neat thing to do. At first, you can, you know, when you're lying down, you can't see much except for a few of the very bright stars. But when your eyes, you know, got adjusted and used to it, you find that, you know, previously it seems that, you know, there were no stars in that particular spot. You know, all of a sudden you see twinkling lights. And as you lie them, you know, more and more, and you find that, you know, there actually are really a lot of stars out there visible to the naked eyes. But as we, you know, lay there watching like that, there was probably about 10 of us. And all of a sudden, I kind of sensed something unusual, something, you know, different happening. You know, all of us were lying there. And all of a sudden, somehow, I noticed that, you know, the kids have stopped talking. And that's not an easy thing to do. How, you know, and why they, you know, stopped talking, I'm not quite sure. But they just did. And all of us, you know, were staring intensely into the night sky, kind of looking at the different corners of the night sky. It is a difficult experience to describe because you need to be there. Maybe very similar to, say, some of the feelings that we get when we see a glorious, you know, dusk or dawn, you know, or maybe we see some very, very beautiful, you know, scenery. That's in your heart, you are amazed, just like we were that night, you know, at the creation, at God who made this creation and the God who is the Lord of the universe. Unless you have a similar experience like that, you know, it is difficult sometimes to put into words how we felt that evening. We were able to get a glimpse into the grandeur, into the splendor of God, you know, how vast the universe is and how awesome this God is who has created not just the universe, but everything in it. Sometimes it is difficult to understand, you know, how majestic and how grand and how awesome God is. But God opens our eyes or opens our heart's window a little at a time. And this morning, this is what I want to do. That, you know, as we come before the Lord's table, somehow through the words of scriptures, God would open our heart's window a little bit wider so that we would learn to understand and appreciate more the meaning of the Lord's Supper. I'm hoping that, you know, this morning we will learn a little bit more about the grandeur of God, the immensity of the love of Christ, and also the power of God's grace, all because of communion. This morning we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. It is a very well-known passage for the Lord's Supper. It sounds like I'm speeding, am I? Well, let me slow it down. I don't know why I'm speeding. Maybe I'm excited. But we're going to be starting with verse 23. And in this passage, we hope that we can come up with at least five things why communion is so different, so special, and so important for believers and for the church. For the hour of worship that we have, five things does seem like a lot. But then that is how rich the Word of God is and how important and meaningful Holy Communion is. The very first thing God wants us to do when we come before the Lord's table is to understand that we take communion. We take communion to look back at the death of Jesus. We take communion to look back at the death of Jesus on the cross, to be reminded that most of all, our sinfulness and our desperate need for a Savior and Redeemer. Starting at verse 23, and I would encourage you to follow the scripture on page 5 of our bulletin. Starting at verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, the new contract, the new arrangement in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, also remembering me.'" We see in this passage that Jesus wants us to understand our sinfulness. This is why Jesus entered into the world. Jesus wants us to know that we are sinners. Just this week, I have another reminder that, you know, of human sinful nature at work. We are all human, sinful human beings. This week I was reminded of that because, you know, number of people in Philadelphia have been, you know, calling me up and inquiring. They said, do I know a person by the name Mark Bennett? I kind of said that it's such a long time ago, you know. It kind of seems like it's a familiar name, but I'm not sure. What happened was that, you know, this person by the name Mark Bennett had been, you know, going around to many of my, you know, friends in the Philadelphia church and saying that he knew me from way, way back. And he was trying to get to know the people and asking them for personal information that they thought it was inappropriate. So we did a little bit of digging, and then last night I got a call saying that, you know, this guy was actually, you know, trying to set up some kind of a scam. That is human sinful nature at work. And recently, another of my friend, his Facebook account was hacked into, and people were using his Facebook account to solicit monies from, you know, other friends, other mutual friends. Jesus wants us to see and remember that we are sinful human beings. He wants us to remember that we need him to die on the cross for our sins. He wants us to be reminded that, you know, the Bible says that he who knew no sin, he who was perfect, was made to become sin on our behalf. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole human generation, past, present, and even those future sins that we have yet to commit. Jesus says that, you know, I'm going to take all these sins upon myself. I'm going to carry them. And when I die on the cross, that means that I'm also dying for the sins of the whole world. Jesus carried those sins in his human body. And he took them to the cross and nailed it there, so that we would not have to pay the penalty of sin ever. And so that we would no longer, if we trust the Lord Jesus and look to God, no longer have to be under the power and control of sin. And so that we no longer have to fear the sting of death. Jesus is saying that we are all humans, we are all sinfuls, and because of that we died. But thank God, because also of Jesus Christ, God has given us life eternal. So when we come to the Lord's table, God is reminding us again that, you know, do not ever be ashamed. Do not ever be ashamed. Do not ever be embarrassed to acknowledge that you are a sinner. We all are sinners. But the great things about the gospel is that God accepts us. And God says, I forgive you if you would allow me to. Some churches celebrate communion maybe, you know, once every quarter, every week, or maybe even, you know, once a month like our church. The Bible doesn't really say how many times to celebrate, except that Jesus says, you know, when you do it, whenever you come together to celebrate communion, this is what we do. Remember Jesus. Remember what he has done for us human sinners. The Lord's Supper is really a very somber, very solemn time, because here we reflect and remember the agonizing death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, on the other hand, the Lord's Supper is also an incredible opportunity to rejoice and to give thanks to God for his many blessings through the cross. Blessings such as God's love for us, God's forgiveness for our sins, God's purpose for our lives, the hope that we have within. In our call to worship, we say that Jesus is coming again, then that's part of the hope that we have within. And also we can give thanks to God and celebrate his goodness, because Jesus promises to be with us. And the Holy Spirit lives in all those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So on the one hand, the Lord's Supper is a very somber and also solemn reminder. But on the other hand, it is also a great reason to rejoice. Because of the Lord's Supper, because of the cross, we have such a closeness with God that is unprecedented. God is saying that, you know, we are here to reflect on him and what he has done for us. He has given us life eternal. So we look back to the Lord Jesus Christ when we come before the Lord's table. But we also, number two, look towards the world. We look outside and we look at the world. Look at the first part of verse 26. It says that, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim And there the word is, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus tells us to remember. And he also says that, you know, in remembering, we would proclaim, we would preach him, we would tell about him to other people, to people who do not yet know who Jesus is, people who do not yet believe in him. You know that, you know, every time when we come together as a church, as a body, as a family of God, we are actually making a very, very important statement. We come together as a family of God for the purpose of remembering what Jesus has done for us, but we also come for the purpose of telling the world that this is the God that we believe. This is the Lord that we worship. This is the person to whom we will give our lives and our lifestyles for his kingdom, for his name, for his delight. So we're telling people that, you know, believers, Christians, people who follow Jesus Christ are really, truly a different breed. They worship a God that is not recognized by our world and our culture. They have a life ethic that is, you know, okay with God but unacceptable in society. And Jesus is saying that by that, people would know that you are my salt, you are my light, you are my ambassadors. When we come before the table and take the bread and the juice, reminding ourselves of what Jesus has done, we are at the same time saying something very definite, very profound, and very powerful. That you and I are believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may live in the world, but we are not of the world because of Jesus who lives in us. You know, you may disagree certain things about with the Roman Catholic churches. Actually, even within Protestant churches, there are a lot of things that we disagree. There are a lot of sins in the Protestant churches too. However you agree or disagree with the Roman Catholic, you know, one of the things I truly appreciate them is the emphasis they put on Holy Communion or the Eucharist. You may remember, you know, the Pope visited D.C. last year. And what a preparation it was. The weeks and months before, and when the Pope was here, you know, doing an open-air mass, you know, the people who came receiving communion. On the one hand, a lot of people watched because of the so-called fanfare, you know, very colorful, very grand, very organized. But more importantly, you know, it is the way that our brothers and sisters in the Catholic churches are saying to the world that, you know, this Jesus who died and rose again over 2,000 years ago, he is the one we worship. We would rather follow him than anyone else in the world. So when you and I are here as a body of Christ, there may be 10 of us, there may be 500 of us, celebrating the communion, we are telling one another, we are telling the whole world that we are here honoring Jesus. We are here obeying him. And this is the way of faith for us. Ever wonder how important and evangelistic to the communion really is? We tell people whom we believe when we come to the Lord's Supper. So, we celebrate communion. We look back at the cross and at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look out to the world and make a statement of faith to them. But also, number three, we look forward to Jesus' coming, second coming. Look at the second part of verse 26. Paul writes, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive Holy Communion, when we celebrate the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an incredible truth that we believe. That Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord of the universe who put all the stars in the skies, he is coming again. We do not know when. We are not quite sure about the actual circumstances, but we do know that the Bible says, make no mistake about it, he is coming again. If we ignore that fact, it will be to our own misery and dilemma. So we are here to celebrate that Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says that, you know, if we are still alive when Jesus comes again the second time, we will be caught up into heaven to join the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would see with our own very eyes the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth. When was it since you last thought about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper gives us that opportunity. It tells us that, you know, think again about the fact that Jesus is coming. And he would definitely come again to take his family back with him. So we come before the Lord's Supper. There's another reason for us to rejoice and to give God thanks, because he has not forgotten us. So three things about the Lord's Supper. Looking back to his death, looking out to the world, and proclaiming that Jesus is coming again. And then number four, Paul also tells us never to forget to look inside, to look within ourselves. By the way, if you count the number of words, you know, you would find that, you know, in this passage, more than 55% of the time, the emphasis is on this section, looking within ourselves. Starting at verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine himself or herself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And later in verse 31, Paul says again that if we judge ourselves, if we examine ourselves, we will not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. God says that, you know, I have given you a very meaningful, profound, and important way to remember Jesus Christ, what he has done for you and what he's going to do for you. But come, not flippantly. Come with reverence, come with worship, and come with fear in the Lord. Paul helps us to understand that we need to do a self-check every now and then. The great thing is that, you know, God says that when you look at yourselves, do not be surprised that you are sinners. But also do not ever forget that, you know, God has a solution to that. We need to do a self-check on a regular basis. Maybe every morning before we start the day, you know, before we leave the house or go to school, we say that God, open our hearts and reveal to us, see whether there is anything that is not of you. And if so, give me the strength, the desire, and also the faithfulness to walk away from that. Maybe some people would do that, a prayer of confession, in the evening before they go to bed. But it doesn't matter when we do it. We need to do it often. Keep short accounts with God. But the sad thing is that for most Christians, the only real time when we seriously check ourselves is before the communion. We come before God, we confess our sins, and then we receive the elements. We ought to do that a lot more often. Paul helps us remember here that we must do this. We must come before God and we must bow our heads and our hearts to him. And we must ask God that, God, would you continue to change me? Would you continue to show me my sins, but also how precious I am in your eyes, so that I may grow more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, in my heart, in my attitudes. There is only one person who can reveal us to ourselves, and that is God. And communion is a great time for that. When is the last time we do a self-check? When is the last time we say with the psalmist in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See whether there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of righteousness. Very tough prayer, but very good for the human soul, because God loves hearing us pray like that. When was the last time we asked God to reveal the condition of our hearts to us? And then finally, number five, we are to remind ourselves through the Lord's Supper of the eternal family we belong to. Look at verse 33. Paul writes, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. We see here that the Lord's Supper is not a meal, not in the regular sense of the word. It is a reminder that when we come together for the purpose of celebrating and remembering Christ, we are to wait for one another. Why one another? Because we are all part of the same family. We are believers. We are Christ followers. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are a part of the community. We, the Chinese Community Church, is a part of the Christian community of faith in the Chinatown area. And the Chinatown Christian Churches is a part of the family of God in the metropolitan D.C. And the whole thing is a part of the Church of Christ worldwide. Jesus is telling us that, you know, Christians and islands, they do not go together. We are all part of the great continental. We are all part of the huge family of God. This is why when we celebrate communion, we do it together. We are not two congregations, three congregations, five churches, or six churches in Chinatown. In a very real sense, we are all the family redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do these things together because we are all part of the same family. In a little while, we are going to be celebrating the death, the resurrection, as well as the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But we pray that, you know, because there is so much richness in the Lord's Supper, that as we celebrate, God would find many ways to remind ourselves to look back to the death of Christ, to look out to the Word because we are salt and light, to proclaim Him, to look forward to His second coming, to also remember that we are part of His family, as well as to come before God, acknowledging that we are sinners. Because without that kind of attitude, God says it is not the real supper. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because we know that however much we can say, we can never exhaust the significance and also the importance of the Lord's Supper. Thank you that even though we know so little about you, yet Jesus still willingly died for us on the cross. We pray, O Lord, that today, those of us who are Christ followers, we come before you. It is only because we're doing so with fear, reverence, with love, with humility, with contrite hearts. And we pray, O Father, that you would imprint your love upon our hearts in a deeper, more personal way, so that we who are parents may pass it on and share it with our children. We who are believers may also share it with friends. We who are Christians may be salt and light wherever we may be. We also pray, Father God, for those of us who may not be believers yet, they may see something, a little bit more, of the amazing love that you have for them, that one day they too may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves them and also died for them. Father, we give you thanks. Listen to our prayer, guard our hearts, and also move our affections towards you. For we pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.